Our scripture reading this morning, we turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we begin reading at verse 1. The text we consider consists of the first 9 verses of this chapter. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." So far we read from the Holy Scriptures. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of our Lord is referred to in the books of Matthew and Luke. And we're familiar with the fact that the stories are different stories, different aspects of what took place are recorded in both Matthew and in Luke. In Luke, we read a lot about Mary and the revelation of God to Mary. And in Matthew, we read a lot about Joseph. We read of God speaking to Joseph and giving direction to Joseph, the son of David. In Luke, we read about the Jews coming. We read about the shepherds that came. Shepherds watching their flock, that they hear the news from angels. And they come and see the babe lying in the manger, just as they had been told. That in Matthew, we read about the Gentiles coming. First the Jews, then the Gentiles coming. And we read about wise men, magi, that come from a distant land, that they come from the east, and that they knew the child was born because they had seen his star in the east. And they make known that they are come to worship him. It's interesting to consider how the word of the birth of the Savior spread. We read that when the shepherds, after they came and saw the babe, they went out and they told others about what they had seen and heard. We read about Anna, who spoke to others about the good news. Simeon, that saw the Messiah before he died. And now we read of the news getting to Jerusalem, also through these wise men. That they hear of wise men coming, seeking one who is born King of the Jews. On the one hand, when we look at this, we see in this story, we see those that are seeking. They are seeking the one born King of the Jews. They're Gentiles, and they're seeking the Messiah. They refer to him as the King of the Jews. They are Gentiles, and yet they're coming to the one who's born King of the Jews. They're seeking him. Why are they seeking him? Did the Scriptures speak about such things as this? And what does it mean to seek him? Do we seek him? Is it the case that we seek our Lord? Haven't we found him? Do we seek him? What does it mean to seek him? And how is it that these men sought the Jewish Messiah? Secondly, we notice how they are guided by the Word. That when we think about how they are led, well, in the forefront, we see they're led by this star. But how did they know about this star? And then how were they directed specifically to where the child was? That it's important for us to consider how the Word of God led them and how God's Word directs us. We consider, and that's in the second place, the Word of God that was quoted, and interestingly, The word of God, a specific word that is quoted here, was referred to by the chief priests and the scribes, and that Herod himself called them, wanting to know what was said about where the Christ would be born. And then finally, we take note of the worship, that they say that they were coming that they might worship him. That statement right up front, we are come, and we are come that we might worship him. Herod claimed he wanted to worship him also, but of course he was not telling the truth. But these really did desire to worship him. We seek him. The word gives us instruction. We learn of him. We worship him. We, who are among those called out of the nations to serve the Messiah. We consider this text under the theme, Gentiles led to the newborn king. We consider, first of all, the seeking. Secondly, the word. And thirdly, the worship. The seeking, the word, and the worship. Gentiles led to the newborn king. When we read this story, and this is often the case with many stories, that we might be inclined to wonder, why aren't there more details? That if somebody told us a story like this in such brevity, we might be inclined to respond with lots of different questions. This is such an extremely important event, we would say. Why aren't we told more details about what it is that happened? And yet there's many stories like that that are very, we can be amazed at the brevity of them. And as we read them, we often do ask many questions, some of which we can find the answers to in the scriptures as we search them. The one thing we see and one thing we take note of is that these are Gentiles. They come from the east. It simply tells us that they came from the east. People have speculated as to exactly the land where they have come from. But what we do know is that they have come from the east. And it's important to consider how the scriptures did speak, repeatedly spoke, about how Gentiles would come and would be gathered together to the Messiah. There's many references to that, a number of references in the prophecy of Isaiah. It is interesting, too, that in Isaiah chapter 60, we have an example of a prophecy that does speak about Gentiles coming and also mentioning those that are from the region that is referred to as the East Country. Isaiah chapter 60 says in verse 1, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, and so on. And then in the end of verse 5, it says, The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, and dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and they from Sheba shall come. Some of those lands that are referred to, such as the land of Midian and Ephah, that is referring to a land that is referred to as being the East Country. So there are references to such things as that. For example, the children of Keturah that are mentioned in Genesis 25 are said to have gone The sons of Midian and Ephah were the children of Keturah. And they are said to have lived, in verse 6, eastward unto the east country. That's Genesis 25, verse 6. That's where Midian and Ephah, children of Keturah, went. And that prophecy in Isaiah 60 speaks of the multitudes coming from Midian and Ephah, but also mentioning from Sheba and so on. But there's more passages. There's many passages speaking about people coming from all these different nations. Where specifically was it that they came from? Well, we have different passages that speak of them coming, but to know with certainty, one would have to find a specific verse that would tell you with certainty which one it is. And different people may speculate that maybe it was this one or from that one. But the point is that there were Gentiles that came from the East Country where they saw this star. And we're not told how many there were. There are those that, you know, we'll say there were three because there were three gifts, but the fact that there were three gifts does not prove with certainty that there were three of them. It simply lists that there was wise men in the plural that came. Another thing that's important to see is that when they came into the house where they were. Many people place them as coming right to the stable and have them right to the where the manger was, where the shepherds were. But that when we're in verse 11, we're told when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. That they saw the star, it took them some while to be able to get to Jerusalem, and then it took them some time to be able to get from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And when they were there, when they got there, they found them in a house with the star above it. One thing that's significant is to see that they were seeking one that was born king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, they didn't just say, where is the king of the Jews? Now, Herod is sitting as the king. And yet, and so they come, and the question that they ask is, where is the one that is born king? Now, by asking it that way, not where's the king, but where is the one that's born king of the Jews? And then making a reference to how they have received, how they have become aware of the fact that this one has been born. The fact that he is born king. And the fact that there is this star that points to that. Point to the fact that this one is one that God had appointed to be king. If he was born king, because God had determined that he would be the king. And that this star indicates that he has been born. Who is it that controls and directs all things, including the stars, but the Creator, Jehovah God, who is giving an indication of the fact that the Son that he has promised has been born? Well, when Herod hears about this, we read that he was troubled. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod is aware of the fact that there is this king that is promised. We read that he asked the chief priests and the scribes. And it's interesting that he gathered together all of them. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, as he hears this, he wants all the chief priests to come. All the scribes, he wants them all to come, and he wants to find out where is Christ going to be born. Now, that's quite something. It shows that he knows, he does know, that the scriptures are not a book that has as its origin the thoughts of men. Though being an unbeliever, he recognizes that this is a unique book. And when he hears that one has been born king, he thinks of the scriptures. But he doesn't know where the scriptures say he's going to be born. So he's got all the chief priests and all the scribes, and he's going to ask them, you tell me, where is this Messiah going to be born? And they tell him. And this way, the word gets also to the chief priests and the scribes. At least the fact that the question that he's asking, the fact that Herod is asking this question, indicates his great concern. And of course, the fact that all Jerusalem was troubled indicated that this news spread of these Gentiles coming, and they're saying that the one born king has come, indicating the one that the Bible had spoken of as being the Messiah. Now, that's the stone. That's the stone that Daniel saw. Daniel saw this coming stone that was going to smash the image, and that statue with Nebuchadnezzar as the head, that the statue would be smashed into pieces, that coming stone whose kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom. The prophet spoke of that, this coming stone that would destroy. And now Herod hears that one has come. There are these Gentiles from some distant land, and they are coming, and they want to know, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They're asking about the Messiah. The word is brought to them. Of course, we know that there was also the case with Anna and with Simeon. We read about what happened early at the temple. Not only did word spread around the region of Bethlehem, but also in Jerusalem, in the area, word did spread about the birth of the promised Messiah. Strikingly, they don't seek him. They know what Micah says. They know what the prophet Micah says, and they quote it, that he's going to be born in Bethlehem where David was, just as David had come from Bethlehem and then became king. So when the Messiah came, he was going to come in Bethlehem, the city of David. And he was the one that was born to be king. They know that. But they're not interested in this king. Later, when Jesus would be crucified, they would say, We have no king but Caesar. They are not interested in this king, though they know, intellectually know, what the scriptures say. But these Gentiles do. They are seeking. They are interested. They come. These Gentiles then are true Jews. When Romans 2:29 says that a Jew is a Jew inwardly, these are the true Jews. The true Jews are the ones that are circumcised in the heart, have a spiritual circumcision, the ones that put off the old man and put on the new man, the ones that seek the Messiah. These are the true Jews. The true Jews are the ones that seek the King of the Jews. They're going to worship him. They're going to serve him. He's their king. These are true Jews. And when the news that these Gentiles are coming gets to Jerusalem, that's very troubling to them. It's very troubling for them to hear that these Gentiles are coming seeking the Messiah. And it's one thing, it's important to see that too, that as you look at, as we look at the, that idea, as is seen a number of times in the scriptures, one of the things that the Jews did not like to hear was the idea that the kingdom was going to be taken from them and given to somebody else. That the gospel was going to go to the Gentiles. That their house was going to be left desolate. When they would hear that, and when Jesus preached and when he spoke about that, that the kingdom was going to be taken from them, that they had rejected, that they were not going to believe in this Messiah, but there were others that were going to. Or when Paul later preached about how even though most of the Jews were rejecting him, he was going to go to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are going to hear the word. That when people would hear that about the gospel going to the Gentiles, they'd be enraged. Well, here at his birth, we already see this idea that there are going to be Gentiles that are going to be interested. These Jews show no interest. As far as we can tell, there were Jews that believed, of course. There definitely were those among the Jews that believed and embraced in the Messiah. Yet, we know that the majority of them did not. And then the gospel would go to the Gentiles. And here we see that that word being brought to the Gentiles was already happening. It was going to be much more so that the gospel, to a much greater degree, the word was going to go forth to the Gentiles after Pentecost. But already it was happening that people from the nations were hearing. People were seeking. They were seeking the Messiah. We see their faith. We see their confidence. They don't ask whether or not the King of the Jews was born. They ask where he is. They're quite confident. The fact that they have seen this star and that they make reference to, they are quite confident that he has been born. They don't know where he is. So there's something that they're aware of, but that there's more that they want to know. They know he's been born. They don't know where he is. But we see that confidence. We see also that determination. That though they come from a land, however distant it may have been, they are going to find him. They are determined to find him. And when they do get to him, they worship him, though he be a babe. They walk by faith, not by sight. They see a babe. Just looks like a babe. Yet they worship him. Later on, when Jesus would die, we'd have other examples of those walking by faith. A convert on the cross that would look at Jesus hanging on the cross and believe he's the king. Here you've got wise men looking at a baby and thinking he's the king. Later, looking at a man hanging on a cross and believing he's the king. Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Walking by faith, not by sight. Seeking him. We seek him. The scriptures in many places say that we seek him. On the one hand, we know him. We know the Christ. We commune with the Christ. Yet we continue to look to him. We seek him. We call upon him. We seek his strength. When we are constantly calling out to God, we're seeking him. When we are looking to God for strength, we're seeking him. That we're among those gathered out of the nations. When you think of these prophecies about the nations are going to come to Christ, we see that fulfilled in the fact that we're here. We gather to worship this same King, called out of the nations. We gather together. That's a fulfillment of that prophecy, that the Messiah would come, the King of the true Jews, and Jews would come to him gathered out of all the nations. And they'd seek him, and so we do. We believe in him. We seek him. And we desire him to lead us. And he leads us by his word. And that's how he led these wise men. He led them by his word. Now, one might say, but he led them by the star. That's true. But they knew what the star meant. How would they know what the star meant? God had made known to them what the star meant. They see a sign. They see the star. But how do we know what signs mean? The word speaks to us about what signs mean. How did they know that this was the sign? That this is what the sign meant? That's another interesting question. On the one hand, we do know that God spoke to them. We read in verse 12, they were warned of God in a dream. So they had been told in a dream that they should not return to Herod. God spoke to them. God revealed himself to them. But we also do know, and we looked at that not long ago, that the Old Testament prophets did speak about a star. Now, whether they knew about this specific verse is a question, but the Old Testament scriptures did speak of it in the book of Numbers, in the fourth book of the Bible. Numbers 24, verse 17 says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And that star points to the birth of the Messiah is evident. And a scepter is what a king holds. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab. That the king is going to come. The king is going to come and is going to destroy the ungodly. That was made known years ago. A star out of Jacob. And so the scriptures did speak of this. And however they knew, the fact is that they did know and they had confidence. Now, what works in us confidence but the word of God? We see their faith. How could they be confident like that? What is it that works in us faith? The word of God. God speaks to us. That word of God works in us faith, and we're confident. We're confident because God says so. That's why we're confident. If God tells us something, then we say, this is the way it is. And if somebody denies it, we say that we're not persuaded because we know we heard from God. If God told us, we know that's the way it is. We don't have any doubts, no matter what men may say. It's the word that works in his faith. The word that leads us. Now, at this point, what they didn't know is exactly where he would be. And as we look to the scriptures, we look to the scriptures with more questions. And we gradually come to more details. Indeed, as we continue to study any story, we continue to learn. We often say in every story that we look at, we're just scratching the surface. Sometimes somebody will find something in a passage and will think, oh yeah, there's another aspect. I didn't see that. Didn't know that the scriptures explained that, but there it is. The more we search the scriptures, the more we see the explanation. Well, at this time, they didn't know exactly where he was going to be born, which is evident from the fact that they come to Jerusalem and they ask, where? Where is he that's born? Well, he isn't going to be born in Jerusalem. How did they find out that he was going to be born in Jerusalem? From the word. And interestingly, this time we read about how the word comes to them through those that don't actually believe it. Now that often happens too. There are sometimes where those that don't believe the word will bring up a passage. Indeed, in studying their various books, sometimes you can read a book from somebody that isn't actually sound themselves, and yet they make a reference to a certain passage and make a connection between some passages, and you think, oh, I never saw that. That, yeah, these passages are related, and this passage does help to explain this one. Well, here, they make a reference to a passage. They say, well, prophets do say he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And then that's told to Herod, and then he sends him to Bethlehem. They're guided to Bethlehem. And here we see that word was known by the chief priests and by the scribes. Bethlehem that was, art thou the least among the princes of Judah? The way it reads in the book of Micah, it says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. The thousands was a division. We read in the book of Numbers of the different divisions into thousands. And it says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. And then brings out also, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's what the passage speaks of. It speaks of the fact that his goings forth have been from of old. The quote in verse 6 of Matthew 2 stops after the words, that shall rule my people Israel. In Micah, that passage goes on and says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This is the Messiah who is God, the eternal God, the Word made flesh, who would be born, a real birth, born of a virgin, born in the same town where David had come, the David that had typified the coming Messiah. There the Messiah would be born, and he would be the ruler. Now, these Jews, though they know the word, they don't profit from it. They don't believe it. They read it. They can quote it, but they don't believe it. That's the key difference. Person may know that the passage scripture speaks about something. I mean, they go, well, I know what the Bible says. I know what it says. The question is, do you believe it? It's not just, do you know that the Bible is the Word of God? Herod showed it, showed that he recognized this was not like any other book. But do you love the truth? Do you love the Messiah that's revealed there? Because every passage of the Scripture is speaking to us about the Messiah. It's speaking to us about how he would lay down his life to save a people. All the way back from the mother promise in Genesis 3. It spoke about the seed of the woman, the suffering seed of the woman that would redeem his people. And that there was forgiveness. There was forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, the promised Savior who would save his people from their sins. All the Scriptures speak of him. Jesus went from Moses through all the prophets and showed how they all spoke of him. Many people read the Scriptures, many people can quote the Scriptures, yet they don't love the Messiah that it refers to, as these individuals did not seek him, as far as we're told. Why do some believe? We understand that it's only by the grace of God working in us that faith. That's why these wise men believed when others did not. God gave them the faith. Even as he promised that he would gather people from the Gentiles, he worked in them that faith. That's why they believed. When we see the chief priests and the scribes, when we see Herod, that's what we are like by nature. We are really prone to hate God. That's really the way we are. Though we would hear of the Messiah being born, by nature, we're not interested. We'd be just like them. It's only by the grace of God that we believe. It's the Word that has been put in our heart, that it's not only on paper, but it's actually in our heart, that we believe it. And when we have the Word in our heart, we seek him. We seek to understand the things that are spoken of. We look at the passage. We're fascinated by the things that we read. We look at this star and we think about how this was not, many people try to give some natural explanation for this, as if that was possible. As believers, we believe what the Scriptures say. Just like in Genesis, we believe it was six real days, here we believe that this star went and stood over a house. Stars, the stars we see at night, they rise and they set like the sun rises and sets. This one appeared and then it disappeared, then it appeared again, and it went. It says, it went before them till it came and stopped over where the young child was. We believe that. We don't try to seek. Was it an alignment of certain stars? Was it a comet that came right at that time? We believe that this was a star that went before them and stood by God's direction. That's the way it was. The Word says so. And if the Word says so, that's the way it was. Points to the fact, it makes us think about the fact that all the creation was created for Christ. The Scriptures speak of that. All things were made by the Son and for the Son. All things created for the Messiah. The star indicates where he is going, where he is by God's direction. Where the Messiah is, the same one who later would speak to the winds and the waves, and they'd obey him. That's who this child is. We marvel to think of it. Yet now his time would be a time of suffering, as we read of this here. We realize that his life would be one of suffering. He was born in poverty. He'd be rejected of men. We see a prelude of that here. Herod's going to try to kill him already at his birth. Such folly. Here, if he knows that God has spoken about the coming of his son, and he actually thinks he can succeed in spoiling God's plan, yet he goes after him. He's going to kill him. And so he pretends like he's interested in the child when really, really he's got murderous thoughts. And so he wants to know the exact time. When did that star appear? He wants to figure out how old this child may be. And then later he kills the children, 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. But of course, he can't spoil the plan of God. It's foolish to think that he could. The Messiah, the King, would be rejected of men, and eventually he would be crucified. Yet that was God's plan. That was God's plan all along. That the Messiah might come and that he might suffer. He'd suffer for your sins. For my sins. And believing that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior who suffered in our place. We worship him. They came to worship him. That's what they wanted to do. We've come to worship him. That's what we want to do. We're seeking him. What do you want to do? Why do you seek him? Well, we want to worship him. And they bring these gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, something precious, gold. Frankincense, used as incense. Myrrh, used as a perfume. They bring these gifts. They bring things that are precious. Earlier we read of, a custom that if you go to a place, you're going to bring the best. You're going to go to the king, you're going to bring the best. We say that Israel, when he sent his sons down to Egypt, their father Israel said unto him, take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present. Bring the best of the fruits in the land. Well, that was to go to an earthly king. Here, they're going to bring the best. They're going to bring something that indicates their desire, their love, their worship. They're going to bring a gift that points to the fact that they want to glorify this king. We, by the grace of God, believe. We call upon him. We call upon our God. We call upon this king. We want to worship him. We think about the gifts he's given us. Everything that they gave to, everything that when they opened up their treasures, and that's what it's referred to, their treasures. When they opened up their treasures, all their treasures were God's. They already were God's. We give of our gifts with the acknowledgement of the fact that the things we give of a material nature, they're all God's. We're stewards. We think of the real riches, the abiding riches that we have, our faith, the fact that we have faith, our faith which is said to be more precious than gold. Which would you rather have, faith or an abundance of gold? Which is more precious? You have faith, tried by fire. You have faith. You have the riches of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. Think of all the riches that we've received, the riches that are found in this King, in this Messiah. They're ours in Him. God says, we inherit everything. Everything is given to the Son, and we're in the Son. Believing that, we're so thankful. We want to worship Him. We want to give of ourselves. Not simply giving of things that we have materially, but giving ourselves to Him. As a living sacrifice of love and thankfulness, delighting to praise Him, to glorify Him, thinking of how we are among those from the nations gathered together to Christ that say, we come to worship Him. We believe by the grace of God what the Scriptures say about Him. He's our King. He's the King of the Jews. And we are Jews, gathered by the Spirit, desiring to live unto Him, unto the Son. So thankful for the gift that God gave. God so loved you that He gave this Son. That's how much He loves you. And as we think on that, the greatness of His love for us, we respond in love for Him, desiring to worship Him and live to the honor of His name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful for the gift of Thine only begotten Son. And we are so thankful that Thou hast given us the grace to believe, to trust in Him. We know He's the King, and we know He dwells in our heart. Grant us the grace, O God, to grow in faith as we think on Thy Word, as we search the Scriptures. Open our eyes ever more so to the things Thou dost reveal unto us. Strengthen us to live to Thy honor and glory. We are so thankful for our salvation and for the blessings we enjoy in the line of generations. Grant that we may do all to Thy glory. For Christ's sake, amen.